As they moved, the sound grew inside me, a muted, hilarious roar, pulling me faster than my feet, yanking me clumsily down the crooked path between boxes with powerful, invisible jerks. And yet at the same time, a new voice, small and reasonable, was pushing me backward, telling me I didn't want to be here of all places, yammering at me to run, go home, get away from this place. And it made no more sense than any of the other voices. I was pulled forward and pushed back at the same time so powerfully that I couldn't make my legs work properly, and I stumbled and fell flat-faced onto the hard, rocky ground. I rose to my knees, mouth dry and heart pounding, and paused to finger a rip in my beautiful Dacron bowling shirt. I pushed my fingertip through the hole and wiggled it at myself. "Hello, Dexter. Where are you going?" "Hello, Mr. Finger." "I don't know, but I'm almost there. I hear my friends calling." And so I climbed to suddenly unsteady feet and listened. I heard it clearly now, even with my eyes open, and felt it so strongly I couldn't even walk. I stood for a moment, leaning against one of the containers. A very sobering thought, as if I needed one. Something nameless was born in this place, something that lived in the darkest hidey hole of the thing that was Dexter. And for the first time that I could remember, I was scared. I didn't want to be here where horrible things lurked. Yet I had to be here to find Deborah. I was being ripped in half by an invisible tug of war. I felt like Sigmund Freud's poster child, and I wanted to go home and go to bed. But the moon roared in the dark sky above me. The water howled along Government Cut, and the mild night breeze shrieked over me like a convention of banshees, forcing my feet forward. And the singing swelled within me like some kind of gigantic mechanical choir, urging me on, reminding me of how to move my feet, pushing me lock-kneed down the rows of boxes. My heart hammered and yammered. My short gasps of breath were much too loud. And for the first time I could remember, I felt weak, woozy, and stupid, like a human being. Like a very small and helpless human being. I staggered along the strangely familiar path on borrowed feet until I could stagger no more, and once again I put an arm out to lean against a box with an air conditioning compressor attached, pounding away at the back and mixing with the shriek of the night, all thumping in my head so loudly now that I could hardly see. And as I leaned against the box, the door swung open. The inside of the box was lit by a pair of battery-powered hurricane lamps. Against the back wall, there was a temporary operating table made of packing crates. And held unmoving in place on the table was my dear sister, Deborah.